Welcome to chilloverradio.net.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. You're about to embark on the newest kind of listening experience known to man. Throw out what you thought you knew about beer, for obsbeers.com will show you the way of the craft beer life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening from around the world. It's almost time for what we have in common. Don't fight the feeling, invite the feeling. Sit back and get situated, acclimated, and vegetated for the number one podcast beer show on this planet or any other planet. Often imitated, but never duplicated. The one and only Open Bottle Society's Open Bottle Talk.
Yay!
Warning. The following program is about beer. It contains mature subject matter. It has been known to feature bombastic buffoonery, humiliating humor, iniquitous information, repugnant repartee, sinful shenanigans, and vulgar verbiage. It's a show about beer. It's not an electronic babysitter for your children while you go off and play house with your neighbor or your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's goat. In other words, this ain't the Disney Channel. It's a show about beer. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody gather around, grab your small parts and, as Frank would say, your bikini area, and go ahead and pull on up. It's time for Open Bottle Society's OBSBeers.com Open Bottle Talk podcast, presented in Technicolor by ChillOverRadio.net. That's right, everybody, we're going to go around the room. We're going to go ahead and give it up to Sean.
Hey, thank you.
We're going to go ahead and move to his left. That's going to be Mr. Frank, or as the kids call him, Uncle Bad Touch the Frank.
Hello. Yes, dude.
And I'll be your host on today's show. They call me the one, the only.
Yep.
Well, that's at least what the ladies say when they talk to me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Frank, applause.
It's never happened.
Okay. Well, I can speak from experience. It has happened.
Okay.
And it's really hard to spell.
All right. So thanks for encouraging me. But you can call me Key on today's show. And today we're going to do something slightly different. This came up from Frank's idea. So before we get into all that, make sure you guys, we want to give a huge shout out to DJ Child and West Coast Vapes. These guys are killing it on our Facebook.
Yeah.
Open Bottle Society. Make sure you guys get over there and check out all the hard work they're doing. If you want to check out our bulletin board, follow us on Twitter, OBS Beers. Also, if you want to get nosy and find out what beers we have done on the show or in the past or just in passing, check us out on Untappd, OBS Beers. And then, if you just really want to binge watch us better than Netflix,
whoa,
YouTube,
yeah,
Open Bottle Society or OBS Beers. If you want to get personal and find out what our beer life do.
What it do?
Check us out on Instagram. We got thanks to Sue. Everybody loves Sue. Beautiful young lady. The best camel toe in the game.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. She's from Africa. Okay. So, you know, within the midst of her, you know, chasing cheetahs, humping gazelles, and climbing on giraffes for good phone signals.
Right.
She's helping us out on our Instagram at OBS Beers. Am I missing anything, Frank? Let's see. We're on Reddit, Twitch.
If you want to send Pinterest. Me nudes, my number is 702.
No, not yet. Sorry. Not yet.
Okay. Snapchat.
Right. Snapchat. We're on all that. Everything's right. OBS Beers now. If you guys want to get really nosy, check us out on obsbeers.com. Everything is on the homepage, including this podcast, which, by the way, at the moment of this recording, Frank, what award did we just win again?
2017 Podcaster of the Year.
Yeah. Amazing. That's what Frank, you do it better than me. Do the yeah thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, ladies. You can get that. You can get that right from the back or in the face. It doesn't really matter. And then, everything's on the homepage. Everything they need. Yep. Everything they need. Everything they need.
Our social security numbers?
Everything they need.
Everything.
No, not that.
No.
Especially that.
Now, if you're enjoying what we're doing, I want to let you guys know that this particular show and all things that we do with obsbeers.com is a publicly funded entity, which means things that we do on the show were provided by viewers like you and breweries that fully believe believe in us, and sometimes even out of our own pocket because we got to support ourselves as well. But if you guys want to get involved, obsbeers.com/support. Make sure you guys check that out. All right, Frank, since this is your idea on today's show, you go ahead and conduct it. I'm done with the shameless plug. Let's get it.
It's my idea.
Yeah, you said you wanted to do something different on the show.
I said that.
Yeah.
And Morse code, do you remember?
Yeah, you showed up and you said, you know how we always do this beer thing? What's up with that?
Yeah. And I was like, oh.
And you were like, I don't even really drink beer.
Pretty sure I just wanted to drink beer.
Right, that's what we're doing. And what's crazy is we're actually only drinking them out of the bottles. This was your idea.
And you also said, let's not even talk. Let's just have the sound of us drinking it.
Right,
the
like whole, this.
May just I, an hour like of gulping. Yeah, let's all do it. Oh my God, yes. All right. Well, if you didn't leave the podcast by now.
Right. You're fucking hell yeah. Also, by the way, we're also streaming from two different angles on Periscope right now just because. Yeah. And it's up to Frank whether he wants to incorporate any of the questions or anything that we're catching. So we want to give a huge shout out to the OBS fam, Open Bottle Society, and those watching us on both angles. Also, love the new prop on the set. What do you think of this?
Looks 900 good.
Pound block of wood.
Nice.
900, huh?
Now let's talk about the thing JD Glasser made.
Hey! Oh. Key, everybody!
That's right. Hey. Rape your waitress. She'll be here all night. Oh, dude, oh, Frank, before we start the show, yeah. I heard this really fucked up joke.
Sure,
I'm ready.
Can I tell a joke?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's this rich guy. Very, very well-known, rich, super rich guy, and he's tired of the hustling.
Yeah.
So, he decided to sell everything, the mansion, the yacht, everything, his stock, everything. Just sell it all and wants a simple life. So, he goes ahead and gets some plot of land in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. He's out there chopping wood. This is nice for him. This has been going on for quite some time. Simplicity, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, as he's doing things, he's noticed off in the horizon, off the highway, the main highway, big dust is coming.
Okay.
Big dust storm coming. He's like, oh, somebody's coming this way. So sure enough, this truck pulls up, this big Ford F-150 pulls up, gets out of the truck, and this big burly guy gets out and goes, hey, how you doing, neighbor? And the guy's like, well, I'm doing fine. Well, tonight I'm going to be putting together a party, and they wanted to invite you. He goes, oh, okay. He says, well, there's going to be a lot of drinking, maybe some fighting, and a whole lot of fucking. Oh, this sounds fun. You know, maybe I need to get out. You know, it's been a long time. It'd be nice to kind of know my neighbors. And the guy goes, well, what should I wear? He goes, and then the big guy goes, doesn't really matter. It's just going to be me and you at the party.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to be raping. If you guys didn't understand the punchline, he's going to be raping. So, Frank, what are we doing on the show?
That's great, Key.
That's horrible, right?
Oh, man.
Well, it's just going to be the two of us.
It's just going to be us. Who cares,
man? Going to be some drinking.
Yeah.
Going to be some fighting. So and a whole
I'm
lot of...
Yeah, I'm most curious about the fighting.
Let me see those mantis.
Whoa, mantis.
Frank, has that ever happened to you?
Like, has anyone asked to see your mantis?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to let you guys have Frank right now. Frank, what are we doing on the show today?
I don't know now.
No, it was your idea. What are we doing?
We thought we would just kind of shoot the shit tonight as opposed to doing beer reviews like we normally do. Maybe talk about a few different kinds of...
Yeah.
Different subjects. I don't want to give it all away.
No, that's fair enough. I think that's great. You know, break up the monotony. Ladies and gentlemen, if you thought you were here for a beer show today, no, Satan, stay away. We're going to be talking about other things that are godly. Yeah. So, how you guys all been?
Great.
Fantastic.
I've really been working on my
reports and interviews. You guys check them out on obsbeers.com/contact OBS and ask your questions. You'll just get,
I've been working on my vocabulary, and great was the last word that I learned. So
great.
Great. I'm just trying to learn, just use it in real ways, Key. Gosh.
Well, I'm not icking your ooh, sir. I'm just.
Whoa, is that a term?
No.
It should be.
That ick your ooh has been brought to you by DJ Child. We heard her say that once.
Ick your ooh. DJ Child, everybody.
Yeah.
Like she's in the room. DJ, and she's here.
By the way, if you guys don't know who DJ Child is, she's a phenomenal DJ, but let's be honest, Frank.
And she's grown. She's not a child.
Big, big titties.
Yes, she does.
Big titties. Great smile. Great personality.
She has a mouth?
Doesn't matter. She has big titties.
I never got that far, dude. I'll tell you that much.
Jumbly.
Yeah, I objectify everybody. That's all I do.
So, yeah, we got a bunch of people watching us. Frank, who's watching us on Periscope?
We've got Lollipop just popped into a room. In the other room, DJ Child just popped in.
All these rooms, it's a house.
Mopar.
Mopar.
Janie Glasser. Phil in the house.
Phil's in the house.
Yeah. Even though when we show this video live on YouTube, when we put it on YouTube, they will not see who we're talking to.
Right. Well, that doesn't matter.
That's cool.
That happens all the time. People do that.
So,
it doesn't matter.
Guys, if you guys want to get in on our two-angle camera shots of the show, follow us on Periscope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point there should be some questions answered.
We can answer some questions.
Just randomly? I thought that maybe have one of these takes and just dedicate it to that and
we've incorporated a little bit.
All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that burp is our time to move on to the next subject. Guys, we'll be right back after this sweet-sounding transition. Yep. So I hope you enjoyed that first segment. This segment's going to be worse. All right. So let's talk about a few things. Frank, what's our topic? You give me the topic and I'll run with it.
I think the first topic of the night is, does beer expire?
Ooh, I like that.
Teach me, because I don't even know that.
Technically, there's a product date that you're supposed to put out there in the world when you put produce and consumption out.
Okay.
There's like a date you're supposed to
put. Is that like the best if used by date?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean.
Exactly. Okay. And I think that has something to play in with some beer. But beer is consumed so fast, such as Budweiser, Miller, all those mainstreams. There's really no need for an expiration date.
Right.
Motherfuckers suck that shit down.
Yeah.
But if we look at a few breweries, and namely one, Stone, they want you to enjoy by. There's a set date.
Yep.
And they want you to enjoy fresh. Now, as far as the expiration thing goes, not if it's stored properly.
Right.
Coolers, cold climate, you know, like when you put shit in the freezer, it'll hold a lot longer before it gets freezer burned. With beer, if you protect it and keep it cold or cool and in a dark place, you can extend its life exponentially, double, triple. You can go 1 year out, all the way to 25 years out, 100 years out, depending on your ABV or how you're protecting it. And as far as expiration dates go, I think it's a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really think about the aging process, some things taste better aged.
Right.
Me and Frank, we've done a shit ton of beers that were way past their prime.
Oh, yeah.
That weren't technically designed to be aged.
Hmm.
And we actually have now at this point, it's a 5-year-old Heineken, and we had it greened and in a brown bottle from Holland. Yeah, so Heineken.
Usually it's in green.
In a green bottle. Oh, Heineken.
Okay yeah. I thought you said green, right, like it was like a process you
green,
did to it.
Green bottle.
Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So you're not supposed to age them. Okay. And we're talking about a couple of years.
Right.
And so we drunk one of the green and one of the brown. The brown tasted 10 times better, but the one from Holland in the green bottle versus an American was completely different and even delicious. That's 5 years later.
Huh.
You remember that, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? That sort of expiration thought process with that?
I think there is slight truth to it. When you are drinking something that is relatively low ABV and something that's hoppy, my opinion is that the hops do break down. And it may not be as aggressive as it was when it first was bottled or canned. But I think if you are, what really ages better is beers that have a higher ABV, something like a barley wine or an imperial stout. They seem to carry over for a lot longer. And it's like you said, it really depends on what your care for it is.
Right.
If you're truly caring for it, as opposed to, oops, I left it in my car for 3 months.
Bastards.
There's a difference. If you keep it in a relatively cool, dry, dark place, like a cabinet, it will keep much longer than if you just have it out on a shelf somewhere.
Right.
So what's like the worst case scenario? What if you do everything wrong? You put it in a clear bottle and you stick it on the shelf and you leave it there for 7 years. Like what'll the beer be like when you go to it again?
The worst case scenario is maybe you'll get a stomachache and it will taste bad.
Oh, okay.
Right.
There we go.
But it won't. But it truly won't get you sick.
Okay, so it'll just taste nasty. How will it taste nasty? Will it get like chunky? Will it get like, you know, like milk or something? Or will it like?
Well, okay. So what he's going for in that explanation is your stomach might turn because the beer separated. You might get that those little particulates in it. Mm-hmm. And that could be upsetting hops. It could be yeast that flocculated, which means they've clumped up and fell to the bottom.
Gotcha.
Things could separate. Okay. But if you're putting something, so the number one thing that ruins beer is light. So if you put it in a clear bottle and you let heat get to that and light, you're gonna get gut rot central because it's spoiling. It's spoiling the beer. But if you protect it and keep it dark and covered, then you're okay. But most beers are usually in a brown bottle.
Yeah.
Or they usually be put in cans. Like cans is protecting the expiration because there's no light, no oxygen.
So that's perfect.
That's perfect, but it can still be heat damaged if you're not properly storing them.
Because of the can or it just can as because, well?
Yeah, remember how thin the walls are on a can if you leave it in a warm place.
So that's why everyone doesn't just use cans all the time or what?
It's cheaper now. It's starting to become a thing because it's making more sense because your kegs are a big ass can.
Yeah,
it's making more sense to protect the beer. And if I'm someone who's making beer and I have the money for a canning machine, I'd go to cans.
Right.
Because it's cheaper on the shipment, cheaper material.
Yeah.
And all that plays into how much I charge you.
Right.
Because I got to cover my cost.
Of course.
The bottom line. But cans, a lot of people don't like it because it tastes like metal. Well, it's because you're putting your mouth on the can.
Okay.
Pour it in a separate vessel. But as far as expiration goes, it's a hit or miss. It's like aging wine.
Right.
Because either it's going to turn out good or it's not going to turn good at all.
That's interesting.
But we have tons of beers. I was just showing Frank earlier and I showed you earlier that Enjoy By. And it said, what was the date? 12 something?
15.
And we're already at the moment of this recording. We're still in 2017 at the moment of this recording.
Oh.
And so that's old, which means it's not, it's supposed to be bad. But me and Frank have done beers way past their prime that were IPAs. Okay. So a couple of scare tactics that stop you from aging.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy By. Oh, it's going to be horrible if
you're
supposed to drink it fresh.
Okay.
That's a preference. That's a preference. I like aged beers. It's fun. More characteristics actually happen because it has time to do itself chemically in the vial.
Gotcha.
It chemically keeps changing.
Right.
So if we're drinking a beer, like right now, if we did the 28% Utopias today, wait 10 years, the same pour, right? It might either be more aggressive or it should be mellow and more enjoyable instead of it being too aggressive. And we've done things with some Bourbon County that were up there 14% and they were well overaged and they're like, you know, you're supposed to age this, and it was phenomenal.
I think with Stone's and Joy Buys, it's hard for us to be able to compare it because we generally don't enjoy it by the date they suggest you should enjoy it by. So it's hard to say whether that beer that says Enjoy By 2/21/15 would taste as good now as it did then.
Right.
I would hazard to guess it probably wouldn't.
Right. We've had that happen before where we were like, you know, if we had it at the day it happened, we'd have a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the aging question is, it's really hit or miss, and it really depends on what style it is.
Right.
So if it's a lager, I don't really want to drink it if it's 5 years old.
Right.
But if it's a barley wine or an imperial stout, or if it's, perfect example for us is Sammy Claus.
Oh, yes.
Now, Sammy Claus is a malted liquor beverage, so it's in the beer family, but it's not called a beer. It's called a malt liquor.
Right.
Along the lines of Colt 45 and OE.
A lot of sugar
to
produce its alcoholic goodness, and it is the most,
Now, we had two of them.
He's about to come. I see his face.
We had two different years.
We had two different years.
His sphincter
one year
just
we had
up.
Was 2008.
2008, and the other one, I think, was a 2014.
Yeah, and there was a difference.
Huge difference.
There was a difference.
The 2018 was more delicious than the 14.
The 2008.
The 2008 was better than the 2014.
It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, man, I just came a little bit.
So I think in cases like that, where the beverage in question is of a higher alcohol content,
right,
it tends to hold longer. But again, it's all dependent on how you care for it.
Now, since I'm going to piggyback off aging, let me talk about the bullshit of freshness.
Okay.
So here's my thing. We make beer, right? We make beer, they make beer, and you got to let it do its thing chemically inside the fermentation tank.
Right.
So however long that's going to be. Then you got to condition your bottle. Depending on the style, you got to wait.
Right.
So at what point is it fresh? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's the whole time, it's still aging. So, I mean, I get where it's that Enjoy By or drink it fresh, but is it really? really fresh? Because it's been, you know, when does a fresh line disintegrate? Like after 3 weeks it's been on tap? Do you get what I'm saying? Because it's still aging in the keg or in a bottle every day. It's growing. It's doing its thing every day. So I just want to call bullshit on that freshness crap where they kind of sucker the customer to go, enjoy this now. You got to drink this now. Mm-hmm. When in reality, if I could have it my way, Frank, you'd have to buy three. I want you to have one now.
Right.
One 6 months later, and then one aging. Depending on where we determine where the aging process goes.
Right.
Or 1 year and then 5 years. I think you would sell 10 times more beer if you made a three-series flight or several years and say, look, we want you to have this fresh, but I know you beer collectors. Hell, we do that. Frank, we have a cabinet full of shit.
Right.
And we can't get to everything fresh.
Right.
So we have to get to it when we can.
Right.
So, I mean, can I go know where I'm going with that? I don't know, because I think I made my head hurt.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, you got me?
It's like there's never a point where it's like, get it while it's hot. That's a figure speech, obviously.
No, we get it. We got a millennial.
Fuck, dude.
Took me back with that one. Damn.
Yeah, I think that the question of freshness is really a personal preference. And typically when people talk about fresh, usually 3 to 4 months is really kind of the guideline for, is this still fresh or is it not fresh?
Right.
I know if you go to a store, you know, your specialty bottle store, and you look at like the born date, you know, if it's been sitting on the shelf for a while, don't buy it, because it's truly not cared for if it's just sitting out on display on the shelf, right?
It doesn't make sense. Big shout out to Rebout. I ain't seen him in a long, long, long time.
He is over here distracted by Periscope.
Big shout out to Rebout.
Irresponsible. I think
he was here long before you.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when we knew you on Periscope, Rebout's
sure
been around for a long, long time. So huge shout out to him.
Huge shout out.
So the only other thing I could probably add in, the only thing you want to drink right away, unless you're in the profession of just hoarding, growlers, not crawlers, but growlers. They, for some reason, sometimes if you don't properly handle the top right, they say 72 hours after you get your growler, you have essentially 72 hours to enjoy it, so that it's kind of getting it out of the draft and you enjoy it. But then again, me and Frank have done a lot of growlers that's been sitting for a long time, and this is how you know that we're in a good place.
But in a growler, that's also a question of carbonation more, as opposed to whether it tastes fresh.
Because as soon as we crack that bitch open, I'm like, we okay.
Right.
We okay.
Yeah, because it's like you've been drinking all night long, right? And you haven't peed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go pee, you broke the seal, and now you're peeing constantly.
Right.
Yeah, that does suck.
So that's kind of...
I'm just always wearing a catheter, so I don't have to...
Well, lucky you. That's kind of what's going on when you're opening a growler.
Right.
As soon as you unsnap that seal, the CO2 is escaping,
and
it's going to go flat. And for most people, flat beer does not taste good.
Nope. So, guess what?
What?
Let me find out from Frank real quick. So, Sean, did you enjoy that topic?
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
What'd you learn?
I was actually editing the Wikipedia page on aged beers right now, as we speak.
Oh, well...
I was actually helping the people, dude.
Nerd.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm just trying to keep Wikipedia alive. You guys just donate $3 every month.
So, Frank, that was a good topic?
I think so.
Right.
I think we touched on it. There's so much more to talk about. But basically, if you want to age your beer, that's up to you. Keep it in a cool, dry, dark place.
Preferably your linen closet in the middle of your house.
And age it for as long as you want.
Okay.
If you can't do any of that, put it in the fridge.
Yeah, put it in the fridge. And if you can't do that, drink it when you get it.
If you can't do that, get a fridge. Because what are you doing?
He's got a point.
How are you going to save pie?
Yeah, I love pie. All right, guys, we'll be right back after this sweet sounding transition. Frank, wasn't that a sweet sounding transition?
Yes.
Actually, guys, we really don't know what sounds they put in between each slide of the show.
I'm the one that does that.
Oh, well, I didn't know what sound. Make sure it sounds cool, bro.
I trust Sean.
Yeah.
You do? I trust him too.
That's your first mistake.
Blow me by the diapers?
By the Pampers. Blow me where the Pampers is.
Can you blow me where the Pampers is?
He said that like so factual. Guys, the quote is 1876.
If someone could tell me what movie that's from.
Oh, that's from PY.
Not you guys.
Oh, PYPD.
No, listeners. Oh. Listeners. I could give a shit what you two motherfuckers.
That's from Cops, season 12, episode 8. Yes,
exactly. hey, I told her, blow me by the Pampers, and now I'm getting handcuffs? It's some bullshit.
That was a
real 911. Because I'm black. That's what's going on.
Oh, I have a. I know this isn't. This is wine related, not beer.
No, it all works the same. Actually,
you like wine too, right?
To what's an extent. Wrong?
Okay.
No, it's wrong. That's what the fucking question is.
I saw on Facebook today that the Clark County is getting their first winery, which I'm surprised that. How the fuck do they not have one yet?
Yeah. Most wineries in Southern Nevada would usually be in Pahrump.
Really?
But as far as licensing, we suck as a state for a lot of things, and especially this beer game.
Uh-huh.
We don't.
But I mean, it's Trump funny because like
so you know your states, right?
Yeah,
California's on one side, Arizona's on the other side, right?
Okay, yeah, I know that much. Yeah,
breweries from each state can sell to each other and have their shit in the stores.
Okay,
but they'll drive through us and we get none of it.
They can't
I'd say about 80% of the beers that you would find in Arizona alone and in California all can be sold to each other. You can find their products.
Right.
But will not come here.
Is there no market? Or does it interfere with other markets?
It's like there's a flyover.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's it distribution laws. The three-tier system out here for just the state of Nevada sucks balls.
Really?
But yeah, the three-tier system is just garbage. Little Birdie told me, Reebok got it.
Reebok got it.
Yeah, what was the name of the movie, Frank?
PCU.
Yeah, you smell funny. All right, so Little Birdie kind of told me that at some point, someday, Open Bottle Society will have their own distribution license, and when they open up their storefront, they're only going to sell only the beer that the three-tier system, these bigger companies, these distros, refused or fucked up contracts with.
Corner the market.
Yeah, because, well, think about it. We would be the only place you can get, I don't know, Brew Rebellion, Rev.
I don't know. Have you ever heard of?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, all these, but we will not sell any other beer that you can find anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
We don't want to do that because why would we sell what other stores have?
Yeah.
We want to be the craft beer store and we'll be our own distro. So we'll have to, you know, have a warehouse.
Right.
And then we sell to our storefront and that's just the end of it. I don't care how many steps we got to do, Frank.
That's cool. Yeah.
But we do it. We do it.
Nice.
And so that means all these breweries that want the market in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come to us and we'll work out a deal with them and we'll say we'll take 10 cases and we'll do what we have to do. And then all these other big people are going to try to offer them more.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're loyal enough and we show them good faith, then they won't leave us.
Nice, man.
But, you know, somebody, they might wake up.
And would you say it was called Open Bottle System?
Open by obsbeers.com. Okay, so there was a little side note. Good question, though. Good.
Hey, I'm full of them. Well,
Frank, this is the next part of your show.
Yeah.
What's our topic?
We're going to talk about a little beer news. A little beer news. So,
Wait.
Okay.
Right now on OBS Chopper 5, we're looking down on down Frank's shirt.
That's your helicopter noise. He's hitting his chest, and that's his helicopter noise.
You are the lamest of the lame.
Oh, no.
It would be better than my underwater voice. Right now on...
I pictured you with one of those old school helmets.
Fucking the Phantom.
Yeah.
You know it goes great with what you're saying. Go eat a bag of dicks. All right, Frank.
Whoa.
Talking about some beer news, buddy.
Too far.
So, as of the recording of this show, which is right before Christmas, this past week there's been a massive tax bill has passed through the United States Congress.
I heard about that.
So
I don't pay taxes, but
I think for the regular kind of folk, they're up in arms about it.
Right.
For beers and wineries, it's actually a good thing.
For the taxes?
Yes. Here's why.
Oh, I was going to say, elaborate.
So, small breweries are going to see their tax cut, their tax rate cut in half from $7 per barrel to $3.50 for their first 60,000 barrels.
Oh, okay.
So, for the small brewer, that's awesome.
Which also means they lower the amount of money that they charge people for their beers.
Not necessarily.
They might just leave it the same.
They might leave it the same and they actually make more money.
Yeah, you can use more money to get better equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. I see where we're going with that.
But the big brewers are going to get a break with their tax rate on the first 6 million barrels.
Holy shit.
And
wow.
That's going to go down from $18 to $16 a barrel.
Okay.
Actually, that's a $2 difference. I mean, yeah. $2 difference in the grand scheme of things.
That's on 6 million
yeah,
barrels.
Yeah, 6 million
right.
of them.
Yeah, 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 but that's a huge tax break. I mean, it's right. cool. You may think it's not, but then...
No, that's...
I'd rather... for me, I'm looking at who's coming out more ahead if we had to be competitive. Smaller people are making them because they're getting it in half.
Right.
These guys are getting $2 reduced.
But does it add up?
No, I think that the bigger brewers are getting
a better deal.
The better deal because they are the price on their barrels is dropping $2 on the first 6 million barrels.
Oh shit!
But how much is it
what
dropping?
What is Budweiser produce yearly?
Oh god, I don't know.
Are they in the millions or?
Oh yeah, have to be.
So they'll probably get the first tax break the first year.
But you don't think that
they're
evens
gonna
out?
If you're looking at 6 million barrels,
yeah.
and Budweiser, which. Well, shit, that means, okay, so if everything's under Anheuser-Busch and AB InBev, they're getting a tax break. Are they talking about each individual license spot? Because, you know, like Shock Top is under their license, Wild Blue, Bud Light Lime, like all these different things.
I'm pretty sure it would stay with the house.
Okay, so Anheuser-Busch total...
Like yeah. the parent
Six
company.
Months, then they're going to blow out in the first year. Because if you think about everything they'll that they want to make.
They'll blow out right, in a couple of months.
Because they got to spread it out.
But you got to remember that in the first 3 months of 2018, they're going to save $2 million.
Right. Which means they'll go buy another brewery. That's that short jab's been brought to you by Go Fuck Yourself Big Conglomerate.
Now, for the small guys, dropping their tax rate, it doesn't sound like it's a real big deal, but for the small guys, every little bit is going to help.
Of course, and if you're cutting half, that means half that money can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
That means I can fix plumbing, I can buy better equipment, I can mm-hmm. revamp my establishment, I can buy new AC, I can upgrade my presence. It's great. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a shame we're not up and running right now, huh, Frank?
Yeah.
But that's all right. Who knows what type of laws will be by the time we get started, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, big huge shout out to everybody on Periscope. We do apologize if we're not able to answer your guys' questions at the moment. I do apologize. We'll get to you guys in a little bit. Give us just a little bit during this video. You're like, what are they talking about? Get your ass over to Periscope and you'll find out.
Heyo!
Hey! make sure you rape your waitress. She'll be here all night.
Yep.
And, I believe her
That's
best
how they
friend
make
is,
a living.
Yeah, that chloroform life.
Yep.
All right, so in summation, Frank, what are we saying with this topic?
That the tax cut that just passed may not be popular. It may hurt the regular people a little bit more in the long run, but for breweries, it's actually a pretty good thing.
Yeah, and if y'all don't like that topic, eat a dick! We'll be back after this commercial.
That's rude.
What, about them eating dicks?
Yeah.
Well, they're getting a tax break. Eat a dick.
All right.
Wait, who's getting a tax break? The breweries, right?
Sure.
What about the small people? They're not.
Yeah.
So everybody eat dicks.
Okay.
Leave your comments below.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Bye.
Hey guys, normally on this spot we would do a commercial, but to be honest with you, I really don't have much to say except obsbeers.com. Thank you.
Hey dude, you know what beer this is?
Oh, no, all the labels are falling off.
Yeah, or the ink is run.
Well, if it's a pale ale, you're good. But stay away from the quote-unquote Belgian.
Oh man, this guy needs to get some grog tags.
Grog tags are reusable, write-on, wipe-off, commercial-grade bottle labels for your brew. The guys at Grog Tag are homebrewers. They wanted great-looking, sturdy labels for your bottles, buckets, carboys, kegs, and growlers. They also wanted a label that not only looks good, but can be easily removed and reapplied during bottling, without that nasty glue residue being left behind. No residue, water resistant, and ice chest approved. Grog tags stay on in water or an ice chest, and they stay legible. Visit grogtag.com to customize your label or coaster from dozens of different templates for free and see how awesome your bottles can look.
Ugh, it's that pseudo-Belgian.
Yeah, we're getting him some grog tags, dude.
Grog tag. At least your beer will look good. Grogtag.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm going to OVSbeers.com. Frank. Great commercial, huh?
I like
it. Oh, shit, man. So, what's our next topic, Frank?
I got... Go ahead. Okay. All right. Siri, I don't mean to bring the mood down.
Uh-oh.
But I'm gonna.
Oh, well, do you, sir.
I guess it's a life question. You know?
Well, who's this for? Or is it just for both of us?
Yeah, it's for both.
All right, we'll let you,
you know, first. I'm probably more interested in Frank's answer.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So...
Wait. Today's next topic is brought to you by Sean the Engineer. Right now with life, hard-hitting questions, and soul-searching at its finest. Go ahead, Sean. Take it away.
Okay, so I'm not a religious man, but let's just assume God's there and you just died, right? Mm-hmm. You're up there at the pearly gates and God is wearing a button-down white shirt with his big old beard and absolutely no pants or underwear, okay? And he says in order to get in, sloppy-toppy time.
What?
Okay, so my question is, and this is a serious question I need to know, what do you think his dick and or jizz will taste like? I'm assuming you're a swallowing man, Frank. So...
Damn! Alright.
I mean, he's a respectful guy, and that's the nice thing to do.
Gotta get to heaven.
Right, and yeah, and it's God. Are you not gonna swallow? You're an asshole. Right, so...
What do you think it's gonna taste like?
So, assuming you're gonna suck it, like, that's not on the table. You have to. So, what does it taste like? Do you think it's otherworldly? Is it...
I'd go with otherworldly.
Right.
Probably like your favorite ice cream.
Oh.
What's your favorite ice cream?
Ooh.
Mint chocolate chip.
So
he's about to bust and it's all mint chocolate chip.
If you made it to heaven, it's probably based on everyone's personal. So it probably tastes like mint chocolate chip.
Mine would be candy and soda.
Candy, rainbows and candy.
Wait. 9-piece chicken McNugget set.
9.
With barbecue sauce.
Not a 10, but
no,
a 9.
No, the fucking cashew Szechuan sauce.
Oh, yeah. God.
All right, well, you
look up and it's Pickle Rick.
Guys, go ahead, leave your comments below to let us know what it's gonna taste like.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be rainbows and
unicorn.
Wow, sherbet. Yeah, you said ice cream, so I think it's like a sherbet.
So for everybody me. That
it's
dies,
not even my favorite, like, but
I know what you like.
Yeah, but I
like. Do you look at him while he's doing it, or is this kind of just face front at the?
I think
the
actually.
I think you're enjoying the candy and soda too much to be looking.
Yeah. He closes his eyes and I think that I pictured him real casual. You know, the line of people in the clouds.
Right.
We're not going to be getting podcast of the year after that.
I picture him just real
that's
casual
fine. Right.
And just, you know, again, just completely bottomless and hairy as all hell. And he's just like,
Frank,
my child, well, which makes it that much weirder or kinkier.
He's God. He's got nothing to prove.
Exactly. Frank.
He's do whatever he wants.
Frank. Does that mean he has no competition with his dick size?
Like, it's going to taste like Black Tuesday.
Whoa. Yes, dude. That's
he's like, what Santa Claus you want? What year?
He asked you
what vintage you want. Thank you, God, for participating in this, guys. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Frank's idea. Frank, what's the next segment of the show that we're doing right now?
Well, since we stream this live as we're recording the podcast, we stream it live on Periscope. We thought we would take some questions from our audience. We've actually got two separate streams running on Periscope right now. So you guys would like to ask some questions, we'd be more than happy to answer it right now.
And we'll give you a huge shout out. So right now, we'll give you guys just a brief moment to ask your questions. Nothing's too off the wall. As you guys kind of already heard in the segment,
I will give you measurements of my penis.
Right.
We will all sit here and it's not, but I'll still give you the measurements.
How is the wife doing, Key? Oh, that's a question for me. I got this one.
Hey,
she's doing wonderful. Unfortunately, she ran away with another gentleman. So I am assuming since she's not dead, she's doing great. Thank you, Rebout.
Where the car was.
Yeah, wonderful, Rebout. Appreciate that.
Got
you
dark,
shout out to Rebout.
Dude. Are you okay? Do you need to talk about it?
Shut up.
All right.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Rebout with get the fuck out of here. Good for you.
That was a great question, guys. Great question. Keep them coming.
Keep them pushing.
Maybe I'll clarify it a little bit. Questions about beer, perhaps.
That'll work. I'm glad on the beer show someone asked me about my cheating ass wife. Oh, man.
What the
fuck? Wow, she fucking laughed. You know what? Fuck this. He Rebout opened the wound. Look, she gone. She's out.
All right.
And you can't fap.
And I can't fap.
Oh, man.
That's some bullshit.
That's why she left. She got tired of doing it for you.
Yeah, her arm. She had a quagmire beef arm.
Yeah.
Beefy arm.
She's like, every day at 2 a.m., I don't have time for this, Key. Fuck. Yeah.
Man.
If I keep having to do it for you, I might have to leave the show because I'm really getting tired of it.
I might add super glue so you can't leave.
He's making me do it right now, guys. I can't.
Fappity, wappity, fappity, whip, whip. All right, let's see right here. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Any other questions out there other than everyone keep trying to ask me about my punk ass ex-wife?
We got a question before from D, one of our viewers from Canada.
Hi, Canada D.
And what she was asking was, you're being sent to a deserted island.
Yes.
What is the one beer
that
you can get an unlimited supply of? Mm-hmm. That you would bring with you?
Just one.
Just one. And why?
Okay, I guess if I had to pick one, let's be honest, it's got to be fucking Black Tuesday.
Okay.
Why? It's motherfucking Black Tuesday. And if y'all don't know anything about Black Tuesday, head over to obsbeers.com and type in Black Tuesday in the fucking search bar and watch the fucking review.
Is this how you wrote like essays and short answers in class? Like you were like, because it's fucking Black Tuesday.
Actually, you know what's funny?
Go to obsbeers.com.
I got in a lot of trouble, but true story, you know, going off on a side tangent, true story, when I was in school and we had to do written assignments,
yeah,
I actually wouldn't write them. I would stand up in front of the class and answer it. And I got in trouble one time because the teacher didn't understand why I didn't do it. I said I'm more articulate verbally than I am on paper.
Right.
And she deemed me for being creative, but I was answering the material. It was just how I learned.
Huh.
So, that's big shout out to go fuck yourself, teach.
Yeah, I got a lot of
those.
Look
at me now. Look at me now. Verbally assaulting motherfuckers on the microphone.
Getting lawsuits. It's great.
Somebody asked, they said that they stopped drinking beer. Mm-hmm. Or alcohol, and wanted to know whether near beer was actually worth it. I didn't catch the name, or else I'd give him a shout out. But
all right, I'll be able to catch it. Okay, so near beer is 0.05%. There is a little smidgen of alcohol in it, but you would have to put down like 50 of them to get in a full effect of one.
Wow.
So as far as the taste goes, that would be from Geraldo. Big shout out to Geraldo. As far as how near beer works, it is a way for, I believe the way it was made was to help people that were having problems but can't get away from the taste. So beer has a certain taste we all like.
Right.
And with near beer, it tastes exactly like your Coors, your Millers, and things like that. They just kind of cut back the yeast and the sugar. So they're making near beer or small beer, and it's worth it as long as you use it the right way. If you're a person who is an alcoholic or subjected to relapse or someone with a addictive personality, then near beer is not for you. But if you're like, yeah, it's not for, because all it's going to do is piss you off and you're just going to go buy another beer. But if you're someone who can understand that you have a drinking problem or you just don't want to get wasted, but you love the way it tastes, near beer is for you.
Wow.
It's a great way to also wean you off of beer, too. It's kind of like smoking with vaping.
Right.
So you're smoking. Now you're hitting vape. And you start dumbing down the juice of nicotine. Next thing you know, you're done.
Right.
So near beer has its good properties. And unfortunately, we haven't done it yet. But sometime in the near future, we're going to be collecting as many non-alcoholic beers as we can find.
Is near beer a company?
How about we just collect a few?
I said as many as we can find.
Not as many as we can find.
Which is probably only a few.
Yeah, actually, no. There's a huge market for near beer.
Really?
There's
huge.
So wait, is near beer a company or is that just a term?
It's a term.
Okay.
Near beer, a small beer, but near beer is technically non-alcoholic, but it's still made the same way. They just use way less ingredients that cause the chemical reaction for alcohol.
They call it non-alcoholic, but it actually has alcohol in it.
Gotcha.
0.05%, which has almost no effect.
That's how much nicotine is in hookah tobacco. And now you know.
Okay.
And knowing is half the battle. Good question. Wow, we sound professional, don't we?
Right.
Guys, we should
What's the
start
next
a show.
Question we got on here, guys? Okay.
Good question, though.
Near beer used to be a brand. Uncle Joe with it. You guys got to understand, Uncle Joe's been around since, you know, the good old days, back in the days. He hung around with Jesus.
And we call him T.O. Jose.
T.O. Jose. What's up, culinary kid coming on in? All right, so I guess they're pretty much done with questions, or what are we doing here?
You guys
I don't know. You guys don't have any questions?
Like, not wondering shit?
Let's see. Any questions based upon beer? All right, culinary kid, what a question, Frank.
What a rip.
Long time no see, brother.
All right, good question, guys.
Keep
it coming. This is an audio-based show, guys.
For Christmas, I got a homebrewing kit. Okay. Any tips? Ooh, Frank, you're the homebrew corner dude. What's up?
Any tips? I'd have to find out more about the setup that you got. Did you get like a Mr. Beer, or did you get a kettle with a fermenting bucket, Mr. Beer. Okay. So the culinary kid got a Mr. Beer for
2 gallon
for Christmas. So most homebrewers actually get their feet wet doing a Mr. Beer. That's how I did it. And I knew as I was actually boiling the next, or I was boiling the batch, that I was going to get a larger system.
Right.
Which I did the next weekend. And I've never used my Mr. Beer again. But it was the idea that it got me just to brew. I mean, because Mr. Beer is easy. Basically, you take a pot, you've got a can of hopped malted or malt syrup, basically, extract. You put in a certain amount of water, you open the can, and you dump it in. And then you just boil it. Then when it's done boiling, you cool it down, throw it into the Mr. Beer. It comes usually with yeast, sprinkle the yeast on top, seal it up. And then you're done. You wait a couple of weeks and you got beer.
Boom, beer, motherfucker.
Boom.
It's essentially the same process on a bigger system, except maybe it takes a little bit longer to ferment. So,
all right. From Rochelle, when making beer, do you need to use purity water or tap is good enough?
Depends where you're from, Rochelle. Us being in Las Vegas, the tap water is heavily chlorinated. So if you, and I don't drink it. Do you drink it, Sean?
The tap water?
Tap water?
No, not like
I do.
Right out of the shit.
I do because I grew up here, so no. It doesn't bother me.
I don't drink it.
I just happen. If I'm in a restaurant and I know it's tap, I don't care. I'll drink
right.
it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't drink it.
One of the biggest things as far as water, to answer your question, Rochelle, water plays a very big part in beer. It's 90% of the ingredients. To be honest with you, it's 90, 95%, 90% the ingredient in beer. It's water. And any source of water makes it chemically change. So it could have calcium deposits, mineral deposits. It could be out of a well somewhere, and whatever mineral is growing in that, you know, calcium, phosphate, and all that good stuff. All that stuff plays into the water. Gypsum, anything you can think of that grows in water can play into how the beer tastes. Mm-hmm. Certain places that are Colorado is known for Colorado water. So guess where they outsource it from? The mountain. And that's where they get it. They won't run it out of their sink or out of a filtered system. They get it from the source. And that can go anywhere. So the water out here tastes different to someone that's not from here. Right. And to me, I'm just like, it's just water. But if we use that water and you start to like that water, the moment we outsource it to somewhere else because we're like, this water is not the best water for what we're trying to achieve, then you'll be like, would you guys do the change of formula? And that water is a huge part. So your four main things as far as making beer is your hops, malt, yeast, and water. They all play in how it tastes. So it depends. He's right. It definitely depends. Someone said, I didn't see who it was earlier.
It was Geraldo.
No, not Geraldo. Someone had asked, have we done any malted
interviews? Yeah. I saw that.
We have done.
Yeah. OBSbeers.com.
I saw.
Back to the water, though. If you like a particular beer, an example is Bass Ale. Bass Ale is brewed by Bass out of Burton-on-Trent in England. And they have a specific water. Usually, people have said that the water in Burton-on-Trent has been the best water to brew with. So technically, I could take Las Vegas tap water, and by adding different chemicals to it, gypsum, calcium, whatever, I can make that water taste like the water that Bass uses. And a lot of people will actually do that when they're brewing. They'll use different combinations of chemicals to change the taste of their water profile to make it taste more like the beer that they have in mind when they're brewing.
Nice. Okay, so Culinary Kid said, if I leave it longer in the Mr. Beer kit, will I make a stout? I love your enthusiasm on the question, Culinary Kid, but technically, if you didn't have stout ingredients, you're not going to make a stout.
Right.
Stout is you have to use darker roasted malts and certain yeast that'll do it, and it all plays into that. Now remember, stout's a style. The longer it sits, it might become more ABV, depending on what your mash was, but it's a style. You actually can make a stout from as low as 3% all the way till the sky's the limits. Mm-hmm. So stout is a style. No, you're fine with that, Culinary Kiss. A legit question if you don't know.
I saw somebody on this room
what you got for
a
me?
While back. I just haven't. I don't remember who said it. They said, I think they said, does dark beer have more of a kick than light beer? I believe that was a question.
No, believe it or not, it's the alcohol content in it.
Oh, Oh, okay.
The more alcohol content it is, the more booze kick it is. And we've had some IPAs and some lagers with some very astringent alcohol content to it versus a darker beer that wasn't as boozy. And you'd be like, what the fuck?
Right.
It gets a little confusing.
Right.
And, I forgot what we were going to talk about.
Geraldo asked, does high calcium water affect the degassing process? No.
No, nice. It does not.
Simple. No.
I forgot. There was another thing that I wanted to actually talk about tonight.
What was that?
I guess we can throw it in now. We got plenty of time. Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Fuck it.
So at this moment, no more questions.
Yeah.
We can go back to it in a minute. But stop because it. As we've been talking about this, I wanted to touch bases on the craze, the bubble that popped, and what's up and coming.
Let's save that for another segment.
Oh, you want to do, oh yeah, that's fine. Wait, we can do another segment.
Management disagrees.
Yeah, that's fine. So any more questions?
Somebody asked, for lack of better words, what makes light beer light?
Right. The sun. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's not the sun. Go ahead, Frank. What makes light beers light?
Well, the calories that come from... that are in beer are from the sugar, and the sugar's from the malt, you know, the malted barley or wheat that you are using to produce your beer. So in order for your beer to be light, you're going to have less sugar. So light beer is just beer with less calories, which means less sugar.
Which means it's not going to be very alcoholic.
Right. And it's not going to, the taste is different.
Yeah. You know what?
Well said, Key. Well said.
How would you clean your Mr. Beer?
Thoroughly.
Culinary Kid.
Good.
You got a lot of questions, and that's awesome. I would love to help you out. Hit us up on the contact page, and I will be more than happy to walk you through the process.
Yeah, we're not trying to shortchange this segment. It's just that all your questions are geared towards helping you, and offline we can give you full detail, all the things. So you want to contact Frank on obsbeers.com, go to where it says the OBS, you'll see a contact section. You can reach him directly, all right? So, yeah, we want to make sure you make some good beer, and then we definitely want to review one of your beers, because we do, as you know, homebrew section of recording beers from people who make them. So
also don't forget to send me nudes at 702.
Send nudes. Okay, so any other questions that we can answer real quick before we move on to the next segment? Because now I really want to do it, because like at this point I'm going to do it in this
let
show.
Me no. So now
yeah no right all right guys, so at this moment we're going to go ahead and close the window for questions. You okay with that, Frank?
Yeah.
All right guys, we'll be back after this cool sweet sounding transition.
Here we go.
Make sure it sounds like Autobots or the Transformer sound.
Got that. Yeah.
That shit?
Right, yeah.
All right.
That shouldn't be copywritten at all.
Even if it is, just do it anyway.
Just, yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Is that a cease and desist letter? All right.
We're fucking making it. Fuck.
All right.
All right. All right, fine. Sean, you know why we're doing this next segment, right?
No.
Because Frank wouldn't let me talk about it in the last segment.
Oh, well, right, yeah.
All
right,
so Frank, you're what were angsty. The things I wanted to talk about?
I don't know. It's your segment.
So I wanted to talk about...
Bubble
that popped. What was and what's on its way.
Okay.
So the bubble that popped and what was are one and the same.
Yeah.
IPAs are fucking going away, buddy.
I don't know if they're going away.
Nah. They're going away as far as the craze. Because there's a new craze. So I think the bubble popped on IPAs. And for those that never understood why I don't like IPAs, they all kind of eventually run the same.
Okay.
Like, because, look, let's face it. We even made an IPA. It's just an easy thing to make. It's an easy thing to make, believe it or not. And IPAs are, there are some great IPAs out there, and I'm not shitting on it, but I mean, just down your throat, everywhere you turn, IPA, IPA, IPA. What's a good juicy IPA? What's a good East Coast, West Coast? What's a good IPA, IPA? But now, that's done.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of, you know, since I started Open Bottle Society, that was the craze. I jumped in kind of right when it was inflated way too high. And so, if we were to look at IPAs in general on the website, I'd probably say 80% of our beer reviews are IPAs.
Okay.
Shit, we're drinking IPAs right now on the goddamn show. So it's kind of was forced down your throat. And there's nothing wrong with putting things down your throat.
Got my attention.
Hey, now you're talking. But as of right now, there are several new things that are really taking off better than ever. And the first thing we'll talk about is barrel-aged everything.
Mm-hmm.
Barrel-aged programs, wine-aged everything. We're talking about take your beer and motherfucking put it in some shit and let it sit a little bit longer.
Let your
even if it isn't, and there's several ways you do it, right? You can have the wood chips thrown in. You could have the inside of a barrel charred to get that smoke.
Right.
There's so many different ways to play with it. So if you really think about it, wood is now the new ingredient. Hmm. So in your barrel age process, you got to have wood. And you want to put it in a barrel, but sometimes you can't afford barrels and sometimes you can't get what you're looking for. So now you have to soak shit. You have to take real wood and soak it in bourbon. You got to soak it and dry it. There's like processes and you got to.
They just drop it in there and like.
Yeah, if I were to take some wood and I get some wood chips. Say I want cherry oak or some shit.
Right.
Or some French oak, right? With a little vanilla, right?
Okay.
But I want it to be bourbon. So I'd buy some bourbon and then I'd soak that shit for a long time. Yeah. Then what you do with that is you take that out and you got to let it dry. So that way all the moisture's out of it, but all the flavor's still in it. Then you would throw that in your fermentation.
Wow.
You're like it's fermented on oak chips and it gives it the barrel flavor. But we're talking about true, genuine barrel age anything. So that shit in a barrel, write your date on it and pull that bitch out whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
And Frank, there are one thing that you are not supposed to barrel. We've had some pretty bad barreled ones.
Yeah.
And then we had some good barreled ones. IPAs should not be barreled.
Right.
They should not be barreled. It's not that we're shitting on IPAs.
Shouldn't be on nitro either.
Yeah. Nitro's also that crazy craze too.
What's that?
Is it nitrogen or nitrous oxide, Frank?
Nitrogen.
Thank you. I always get the two confused. So that's why I always just say the word nitro. So they put another gas in it.
Okay.
Versus CO2.
Right.
Well, they have natural carbonation of natural CO2, and then sometimes they pump it in if it's not achieved. So let's say the beer changes, but I can't achieve carbonation, so I will CO2.
I didn't know it was naturally carbonated.
Yeah, we'll get into that another time. Okay. That we're not going to go into another segment, but we'll get into that in the brewing process.
Yeah.
But sometimes shit happens. Frank had a mistake happen.
Mm-hmm.
He had made a beer called the No Carb IPA. He will never, ever make it again, which, by the way, was one of the most fantastic tasting beers I've ever had in my life, but it was a fluke. No carbonation. Very little fizzy. But if he owned a CO2 kit, he'd be able to carbonate it and everything would have been fine.
Nice.
And nobody would have known.
Right.
But with nitro, you add that gas in. There's only one well-known beer on the planet. And Sean, take a guess at it. That's always nitroed. Always.
Is it a popular beer?
It's a very popular beer. Oh, yeah. You've seen it, too.
One of the most popular in the world.
And
they're known for that.
Are you a fan of this beer or no?
Yeah, 50-50 shot, depending on my mood.
Oh, crap. I don't know. Guinness. If you said you didn't like... Oh, man. I was going to either say that or what's the other one?
Guinness. Guinness is known for being a different gas in it.
That's interesting.
What nitrogen does is it's got smaller, tighter bubbles.
Okay.
So it's not as much carbonation and it tends to be a little creamier.
Ooh.
So it lends itself well to something like a stout or a porter, something that you want to be creamy. Now, an IPA, you don't want it to be creamy. You want it to bite and be aggressive.
Right.
To have a citrus taste or pine or resin or something along those lines where the regular carbon dioxide carbonation is going to lend itself a little bit better to that. It's going to pull out more of that aggressive flavor, whereas the nitrogen is going to lend itself better to something like a stout that you want creamy.
Now, so there's that. So we talked about barreled aged everything.
Right.
And it's usually the darker beers that are the best.
Yeah.
And that's not even an opinion. Being serious.
Yeah.
It's usually the darker the color and the darker the beer and the more ABV.
But you can barrel age anything you fucking want.
I feel the same way about
it. You can barrel age anything, my friend. And it's fun. Then we talked about nitrous, right? With the nitro.
Yeah.
So nitro is another craze. The next one after that you're going to see rising as of right now, even from this recording, coffee everything.
Yeah.
And that's already in a lot of stuff, isn't it?
Well, natural byproduct in stouts and porters is a coffee taste, but we're talking about adding coffee in it, like the beans, steeping it, grinding it, putting it in, blending it, cutting it,
like banned coffee, folks.
And again,
the strongest coffee
that
in the world
shouldn't be in is IPAs. Like, IPA is versatile, but some things just aren't supposed to be. But coffee, everything. There's coffee lagers, coffee box, coffee, everything.
I like coffee, so,
and it depends on the combination that makes sense. But then again, there's a market for everything.
Right.
So coffee is great. We even work with coffee.
Yeah.
Hell, big shout out to...
I already gave him a shout out. Banned Coffees.
Banned Coffee.
What is their thing? The strongest coffee in the world? Or the
one of them.
What did they
and
say?
These guys
it says it. That's one
of the world's strongest coffees.
Yeah.
World's strongest. It's
world's
intense.
World's strongest coffee.
Check it out.
Let's just go with it's the world's strongest coffee.
Oh, screw that. Let's go with Galaxy. They ain't got shit like this on Mars or even in the...
No, they do not.
Another planet.
And then my best and most favorite style of all time. Sours.
I just realized that I like
sours are on the rise. And what I love most about sours is it's either you love them or you fucking hate them.
Yeah, I like them. That's
one of the ones. I was impressed that Sean liked it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I don't like sour anything. Yeah. I don't like candy sour. I don't like, but in beer, it's really good.
And what's great about sours are a true, genuine sour got that stank because it's basically really turning. Mm-hmm. And you're souring or pickling a beer. So you got to use a particular yeast to do this.
Wow.
Now there's other secondary styles like Goza's, Westerbeer. No, not Westerbeer's. What I was confused.
Weissbier.
Thank you. Weiss.
Berliner Weiss.
Thank you. Berliner Weiss. I don't know why I'm fucking, I don't know why I confuse those two. And then, you know, Goza's, Berliner Weiss, Framboise, Lambics. Those are all sours too because they're tart, but they're not sours.
And those can be aged.
And yeah, those can be aged. Now sours, like the legit ones, you've seen the faces. OBSbeers.com. Type in sours, see the faces. Like, we make some puckery fucking butthole drops, but sours are great. I love them. And I love it because most people can't drink them. The stankier, the better.
It's like your advantage.
Usually, the more pungent it smells, the better it's gonna fuck your mouth hole.
Wow. And I like getting
anything else, Frank? Wait, Frank. So let's say all these crazes are done, right? All these bubbles. Mm-hmm. What do you honestly think the next rise and what style is what's going to be like? Oh, I got to get that. What do you think? Because right now, if you look at in today's market, who's buying the beer? Who's drinking the beer? Gender-wise, where do you think it's going after all these things I spoke about?
I don't know if I can pinpoint where it's going. I think I can talk about something I would like to see. I would like to see some more craft lagers.
Really?
You know what? For most of the world, lager is Budweiser.
Right.
And I say that with a heavy heart. But I would... It is the most...
Whoa.
It is the most complicated beer to make.
And what's so crazy, and you always hear me say this, I give them so much fucking credit. Yeah. Because think about it, guys. They're making the same beer time and time again monthly, and it has never changed its taste. Figure that out, guys. They make the same beer monthly because remember they have their process. They've got plenty of tanks and they're making it to the exact temperature, the exact amount to the T, microscopically. These motherfuckers make the beer taste the same time and time again. Have never failed ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it's a bad batch, they fucking scrap the whole shit and redo it again before it goes out into the market. It must taste the same.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and even though we shit on them, the credit is where it's at.
Uncle Joe off of Periscope said it's like the McDonald's of beer. And it's true because you can go anywhere in the world, and I have been, and McDonald's is McDonald's. And I've been to McDonald's in Ireland, and it tastes the same as McDonald's here.
Absolutely. I'm hating it.
I'm shoving it.
I agree with Key. You got to give the big macro breweries credit for being able to replicate that recipe again and again and again.
And then they throw you a curveball and fuck with you and go, oh, let's try this repeal flavor from 1935.
And you don't like it.
And you're like, ugh. And they're like, yeah, that's what we used to make.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you. Drink our shit now.
But it's cool that they are able to just, I mean, really repeat it again and again. Because most breweries, it's going to be slightly different, just slightly. So it's never actually going to taste exactly the same as opposed to Budweiser, Coors, Miller, taste the same every single time.
Yep, and that's why you go, I hate them, because motherfucker, they taste the same. Who wants to eat the same grilled cheese every goddamn day? Put some ham on it.
Unbelievable chemistry.
Yeah, and you got to give them credit. Yeah. We don't not like them. You want to strive to be like them. It's just their practices are dirty when you're a hypocrite. But as far as the bubble goes, there you guys go. We'll be back after this cool... transition of bunch of dogs barking. We'll be right back.
You're really making my job hard, you know that?
Dogs barking.
Okay.
Pit bulls.
Take this moment to close your eyes. We're now at the end of the podcast. Now imagine yourself where you're at.
Ah!
My apologies. I have bursitis. Imagine yourself butt-ass naked. And your private parts are in the wind.
It's cold, dude.
Sure, but... buddy. Yeah. You're just small. Yeah, now remember that what you're listening to is more soothing than 13 ladyboys reaching for the bottom half in your bikini area. We want to say thank you.
Thanks.
For watching obsbeers.com. Listening to Open Bottle Talk. Yeah. Supporting Open Bottle Society.
Support.
Always emailing Frank. And let's face it, you guys keep sending him dick pics. Keep it up.
Yeah, text 702.
At this point now, on the count of three, we're going to snap our fingers. And you're going to wake up hungry for big, veiny, black dick.
So hungry.
3, 2, 1.
My God, what time is it?
Where's that dick? I need a veiny one near my face.
Guys, we're going to get you out of here. And always remember, when you're having coitus, pitch your key from obsbeers.com in your corner of your room.
Yes.
Eating cereal.
Was that Lucky Charms?
Have a good night.
Like Pennywise.
Pennywise.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.